is Lalita Shasti. It's the fortunate day of the appearance day of Lalita Devi, just a few days prior to the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Yesterday afternoon I went to visit my doctor, and he then did some tests and sent me for some further x-rays and ultrasound scan to hospital. And then today I went back again, and he took some blood samples and got some further tests on that, but it seems that his assumption, and even preceding his assumption, my mother's assumption, that I had some kind of lung infection was correct, and some of that still remains, although he didn't give any kind of antibiotics for it, and that was good. Anyway, once I have a full rundown of what all the tests results are, then I'll give a more comprehensive answer. Better that we talk about Lalita Devi today and Srimati Radharani also. We know that Lalita Devi is the eldest of the gopis and the most intimate friend of Srimati Radharani, and therefore we may be inclined to speak about certain pastimes of Lalita Devi with the gopis and Krishna and so on. In fact, the question even comes up what we should be speaking about on such a day and what we should be speaking about on Radhastami via the podcast or any public forum, including Bhagavatam class or the festival class on these respective days. And the answer is that it depends upon the adhikar of the hearer, of the hearers, of the audience, what is our actual qualification to hear, because the topics of the gopis and Srimati Radharani is very, very confidential. It's not for ordinary people, it's not even for conditioned souls. It's touched upon in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And even there, Shukadeva Goswami stopped speaking after the five chapters discussing the rasa dance. He stopped and changed the subject matter altogether because he saw that although he was surrounded by many sages and very austere devotees, renounced sadhus, many of them didn't have the kind of faith in Krishna to really understand how it was possible that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was acting contrary to all religious principles by dancing alone in the dead of night with other people's wives. And Parikshit Maharaj brought that to Shukadeva Goswami's notice, and therefore the latter just stopped. He stopped speaking and he switched topics. All of a sudden he started to narrate the story of how Lord Krishna saved Nanda Maharaj from a serpent. And then afterwards he spoke about how the Shankachuda demon was killed. Therefore, before entering into these type of subjects, we need to have a very clear and definite understanding about who Krishna is. To understand Krishna's human-like and very familiar pastimes with the gopis, intimate pastimes with the gopis, we need to understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have unflinching faith in his divinity, and understand how it is that he engages with these pastimes, with manifestations of his own internal potency, the gopis. So the question as to what should be spoken on Radhastami is answered once devotees answer the question whether they've really read and studied and digested the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we really know, understand those sacred topics? Do we have the type of faith that cannot be contaminated by any type of misgiving or misconception of our minds or even those of someone else? So it's only after that's been established by a serious study of Srimad Bhagavatam are we then really qualified to enter into the 10th canto as a thing for public discussion, for close study. That doesn't mean that we can't read the 10th canto or we can't read Krishna book, because Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book very early on in the Krishna consciousness movement. But it's something which is meant to be read, heard, and offered respect to, but not necessarily in the public forum, not necessarily discussed in detail, and particularly not with special emphasis on Krishna's Rasleela pastimes or his pastimes with the gopis. So everything isn't for everyone. It depends upon adhikar, it depends upon qualification. And as I discussed some time back, there's the Naimitika Lila, occasional pastimes, Nitya Lila, Krishna's eternal pastimes, Naimitika Lila, particularly Krishna's killing the demons. This is subject matter for everyone. All devotees should hear this because it helps qualify them to understand the Nitya Lila. And then as we become more fixed in devotional service, we can hear Krishna's Nitya Lila, but we should make a point of in-depth study of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, Dwarka pastimes, until we become free from anartas, until one actually is fixed in devotional service. We shouldn't read such books. What to speak of reading things like Govinda Lilamrita or other confidential topics. And even if we are qualified as individuals to hear about these things, then it's not the subject which is to be discussed in public. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed these things, but in a very private place with Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, who are equally versed and equally qualified to hear and discuss these type of things. If such things are discussed in public, then we certainly run the risk of committing offense to the holy name. To speak the glories of the holy name to those who don't have a corresponding faith. This is what is meant by glories of the holy name. The glories of the holy name is the glories of Krishna's confidential Vrindavan pastimes. How do we get this type of adhikar? How do we get this type of qualification? By chanting Hare Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna without offense, one's heart becomes cleansed and one becomes qualified for everything in due course of time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Malihana kono se bhi jerupan, that you have the seed of devotional service. In that seed of devotional service, prema bhakti is there, and with prema bhakti, access to all of Krishna's confidential pastimes. So all we have to do is actually water the seed. You just keep watering the seed, it starts to sprout. As it sprouts, then the leaves come, ultimately flowers and fruit. And it's simply the same chanting and hearing that's required to be done. And by that chanting and hearing, then fruit comes, matures in its own time. There's nothing you can do to hurry up a tree to produce its fruit. If you do, the fruit will just be unripe. It may externally appear that it's fully mature, but when you bite into it, it will have no taste. You will be missing the rasa. So in the same way, if we can't chant without offense, then we know that we are not qualified for intimate lila, and that should not necessarily be our quest on Radhastami or on the appearance day of Srimati Lalita Devi, because we will not be able to acquire the real benefit. What we will simply get is an abhas. So it's an important thing that the devotees should hear according to their qualification. It isn't that hearing is forbidden. Everyone should hear, but we should hear subject matter which is appropriate for our level of spiritual advancement. And when there are many people, such as in a temple room, of different levels of spiritual advancement, then we should talk to the lowest common denominator, not the highest, but the lowest. Thus, if there are real beginners and simply guests at a large public function, then we speak about subject matter which is satisfying to them and which is appropriate to them. If devotees want to have any more exchange, then they have to do it amongst Svajatiya, those who are of equal caliber, and not publicly, because public means that unqualified people will also hear. So today, on Lalita Devi's appearance day, we should start with the beginning. Srimati Lalita Devi is Srimati Radharani's foremost gopi. Under all conditions, under all circumstances, she serves the divine couple with great love and devotion. We should learn how to acquire that type of nishtha, that type of firm devotional service to Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the Krishna consciousness movement, that under all conditions we serve the mission of Lalita Devi, the mission of Srimati Radharani, which is to glorify Krishna, Krishna consciousness movement, to make everyone Krishna conscious. And we learn how to chant purely. Then Lalita Shasti, Radhastami, they will really have meaning, because that meaning will manifest within our hearts as a consequence of our service and surrender to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll quote one verse which I put in the introduction to Venu Gita, and it's one of my favorite verses, and it very simply, very wonderfully describes how we will come to understand Srimati Radharani. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeti bhaktim kripunya rasi tata tato tsar patarid kasmad radha padambhoja shudamburasi. And the meaning or translation of that is that to the degree that one devotes his full attention to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, to that extent one may be able to taste the service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. In other words, the more we engage in the service of Lord Chaitanya, the more we find ourselves in Vrindavan tasting the nectar of service to Radha and Krishna. So this is really the key, and this is what we need to reemphasize and understand on these very wonderful and sacred holy days, that we need to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission with full heart and soul, to be sold out slaves to manifesting the mission. And when we do that, then Lalita Devi will personally manifest herself before us, and she will bring along with her Srimati Radharani and Shyamasundar, because that is the result of such pure and selfless service. But otherwise, if we simply try to, without such qualification, without such a service attitude, without love for the holy name, without qualification by this service and surrender, if we simply try to climb the pinnacle of intimate pastimes by reading many, many books, Bahushastra Bhakubhakya Chitra Brahmahoy. Then Srila Prabhupada quotes that one simply will become bewildered by all of these things. And Srila Prabhupada says that one may even fall down from the platform of devotional service. So everything has a time and a place and a methodology. Lalita Devi's appearance, Srimati Radharani's appearance, has a methodology. The general principle is that we must approach very cautiously such sacred things with reverence, caution, and worship them with the offerings of our purified heart in service to Lord Chaitanya. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhange, Matala Sarujana Vishaya Rangi. Hare Krishna.